Yes. When we come right back, we'll continue our dialogue with Peter Gersten. We'll get his take on the Mayans. Also, what's the current state of ufology? You know, he is the UFO attorney. We'll get his take on some of that. Maybe even get his reaction to that Serpo case. Remember that story where it's been alleged that we sent 12 astronauts, military-type personnel, up to another planet in the Zeta Reticuli system? Remember that story? Let's get Peter's take on that as well. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Peter, before I chat with you about the Mayans, let me get your take on this current story. Apparently, it started as an internet situation. There's some kind of a series of anonymous posters on there. This individual claims that he knows that we sent 12 military personnel to another planet in some kind of exchange program. It's kind of an interesting. No, we're on.
Oh, we're on the air.
We're on the air.
You want to talk about that now?
Yeah, well, let's chat about that for a bit, and then we'll go into the Mayans
and
everything else.
I refer to it as ZREP, Zeta Reticuli Exchange Program. As far as I'm concerned, it's a cosmic urban legend. But I have to pay it homage, because if it wasn't for ZREP or SERPA, whatever, I wouldn't be on your show tonight, because that's the reason that, I guess, her name is Lisa.
Lisa, my producer.
Yeah, contacted me because she was doing surf on the internet for this particular project, and she came across my name.
Popped up?
Yeah, but I don't know why, because it wasn't until that morning that I decided to post something in the e-news about it. And that's only after about weeks of thinking about it and deciding, listen, I'm not going to censor my own e-news. I'm going to put it out there, even though I don't believe in it. And interestingly, for some reason, it couldn't have been a Google search, because I tried to do a Google search with my name, and it didn't even come up. So somehow she found it, contacted me because of that. So in other words, see how the universe works, even though I think it's just another cosmic urban legend. Basically, I don't believe that science fiction is our reality, at least when it comes to the life forms, possibly the technology that we see in science fiction is going to be coming true in the near future, but not certainly the life forms. I'm not so egotistical to believe that our science fiction is what is out there.
Right.
You know, we know what's out there. Our science fiction tells us that it's aliens and they come here and so forth and so on. But even though I didn't look at the website prior to doing what I posted on the e-news, and I usually do a commentary for every news story that I post. I do three stories a day. I decided, because it was the motivation or the method of getting me on Coast to Coast, I decided to look at it. And I went through the website, and right away I saw the name Richard Doty. And right there, it brought back memories of my meeting with Richard back, I guess, in 1981 or 1983, yeah. Something like that.
Were you with Linda Moulton Howe then?
No, but I'm the one that told Linda about Richard.
Okay.
Now, Richard Doty has no credibility. If he was a witness in one of my trials for the other side, I would be able to destroy his credibility 100%. He would not leave that stand with anybody on that jury believing him. He is associated with fabricated documents. He in Ellsworth, just to give you an idea, Air Force Base in 1978, he was there when this document came out, was circulated, was supposed to have been leaked, so to speak. There's
right.
No official confirmation that this was ever a legitimate, authentic document. It wasn't obtained under the Freedom of Information Act. It had to do with some alien landing on the base and shooting one of the base personnel. Bob Pratt of the National Enquirer at the time did a real professional investigation and found that this was just a bogus document. And coincidentally, In 1980, we find Richard Doty at Kirtland Air Force Base, and what do we find? Another bogus document coming out of that Air Force Base.
Do you think he was or is who he says he is? I mean, a former military intelligence officer?
Oh, he worked for OSI.
Okay, so why create these phony documents?
You know, I don't know why. You know, on the one hand, you can say that he's part of this disinformation program. In other words, he's doing it as part of what he does, counterintelligence. And it
which
might
is,
be.
Which is what Linda believes. Linda believes that, I think.
Well, getting people's attention toward thinking that these things in the sky are ETs from other planets, you can test a lot of things. You know, the military can test a lot of things and not have to worry about any kind of scrutiny.
I
just think, but it's not based on anything other than just personal intuition, I think he's just, you know, some kind of aberrant social behavior, and he decides that he's going to have fun with the UFO community, and he's going to, you know, create fabricated documents out of Ellsworth, fabricated documents out of Kirtland. He's also associated with the MJ-12 documents. He had an intimate relationship, and I don't mean intimate in a biblical sense. I mean in the ufological sense, with Bill Moore creating the MJ-12 documents. He was also involved in the aviary, you know, the flock of birds that's supposed to exist somewhere. So he has no credibility. In other words, it's almost as if it was a criminal case, I had to cross-examine somebody and prior bad acts. Here's prior bad acts. It's and now his name is associated. As a matter of fact, when I went down to Albuquerque to speak to him, he told me various things. And if you have the time, we can go through them. But in any event, he told me back then that there was some kind of project going on that was similar to the ending of Spielberg's movie. And this was back then, and lo and behold, I guess no one was buying it back then. It's now surfacing now.
And they're buying it now, Peter.
But it's, of course, it's part of the belief system. We are what we believe. You know, if you tell us something that's consistent with our belief system, we're going to adopt it. There's no question about it. But I'll tell you one thing. Separate and aside from whether it's real or not real, it's part of the programming.
I agree with that.
To get us to accept this future first contact scenario. It started with Roswell, and ever since Roswell, it's been getting closer and closer and closer. You know, there was, remember Roswell? Hangar 18, Betty and Barney Hill, there's an abduction. You know, Roswell, there was a crash. Hangar 18, it had the object, Betty and Barney Hill. Well, now we're getting into abductions. Project Aquarius, MJ-12, they have the bodies. And then you have Billy Meyer and Alien Autopsy film and the Alien in Captivity. Did you ever see that interview they did with this alien where at the end of the video he, like, dies? And then Jonathan Reed, remember Jonathan Reed about killing an alien?
Mm-hmm.
And then now we have Z-Rep getting us close in the exchange program, getting us programmed to accept first contact when it happens. Now, what one of my beliefs... based on, and my beliefs are based on three things. Number one, evidence, credible evidence.
Sure.
Number two, my 11/11 experience, and intuition. When we talk about the UFO phenomena, whatever this intelligence is, and I can prove beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law that we are in contact, we are interacting with another form of intelligence. I just don't believe it's extraterrestrial. I think it's right here in our reality with us. Basically, I think we're in a closed system. But in any event, this intelligence can create real events and hoaxes. And it doesn't matter in the scheme of things because hoaxes and real events program people to believe. And I'll give you an example. And there are a lot of analogies in my legal work when I try cases. When I ask a witness, how do you know, you know, how long do you know the defendant, the witness spontaneously says, he's been selling drugs to me for 10 years. So I object, Judge.
Yeah, she's just implicated herself, right?
Right. So the judge instructs the jury to disregard that answer, right? Okay, the jury goes into the jury room. When they deliberate, you know the first thing they're going to talk about is my client selling drugs. It's the same thing. If you place into this reality an event, whether it's a hoax or a real event, people are going to believe it. You know, there are some hoaxes that have shown to be hoaxes. Sometimes the people don't even hear about that. So people believe things if they're consistent with their belief systems. They will adopt things. So, of course, it doesn't matter if it's real or not. People are being programmed to accept this intelligence, to believe this other intelligence is not only ET, extraterrestrial from other planets, but it's coming here, and it will come here in a first contact scenario, I would assume, in about 3.5 years.
Why the programming, Peter? Why not just lay it out there and say, folks, this is what's happening?
Well, when you say lay it out there, by who? By humans? I don't think this is human. I think, you know, when I talk about programs, I talk about programs with a specific theme. The theme of this program is number one, science fiction. You can see that. Number two, secrecy, deception, you know, violence. This is a very dark program we find ourselves in.
Who's the puppet master here?
It could be us. We could have gotten together and said, we want to. You remember Total Recall? You see the movie Total Recall,
yes,
with Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
Remember he goes into recall and they give him a choice of programs, you know, over his lunch hour? We could be on our lunch hour. You know, whether this is a simulation talked about by Nick Bostrom or whether this is a program, you know, cosmic. I think it's much bigger than a simulation. Did you see 13th Floor?
I'm not sure if I saw
well,
that.
Well, you know, watch 13th Floor. You get an idea, even better than The Matrix, about what kind of program we're talking about. You know, there's a theme to every program. And, you know, even the planetary themes, you know, the planetary dramas and the end times themes with George Bush. Everybody's complaining about George Bush. I think he's a perfect president for the end times. If you had to call up cosmic casting, central casting, and say, send me the perfect president for this particular time in our program, he was the perfect person. So it's not a question of when it all come out. It comes out. Everything in its own time. Everything's programmed. Nothing before its own time in this program, as we can see. And that's why, you know, it also confirms to me it's a program because it's so structured. It's so precise. Nothing before its time, whether it's technology, whether it's events, whether it's revelations, whether it's information. But I'll tell you this, they say, according to the time wave theory, everything will be known at the end. And you can see the analogy in books, in movies, you know, at the end, you always know who did it. You always know what happened. And I think the same is in our three-dimensional program, in our holographic reality. At the end of the program, we will know everything.
So you don't think we're being visited by ETs. You think whatever's going on is something else.
Yeah, I think it's within the program itself. I think it's within the reality. I think this intel. Now, I'm not, the only question I have, now, you see what confirms everything about this reality, the strangeness, the program, is, of course, UFOs. There are things, the paranormal, there are things in this reality that is not being explained.
Exactly. Now, and people are seeing these things. People,
yeah, now,
then they appear to be physical.
Whatever they are, you know, I personally think there's some form of life. There are different life forms, but there's so many things going on in this reality. But that only confirms to me that something is happening that we should be aware of. It's everything is not like we think it is. It's almost like, you remember in The Matrix where these people just go day to day, 9 to 5, come home, watch TV and things like that. It's a program with a particular theme. And it's coming to the end of that program, and it involves first contact, but only after, unfortunately, some kind of natural disaster, because they have to be saviors. They have to come to us to save us, and then that comes the test of sovereignty. That's
interesting. So you think there's going to be some kind of calamity, and then all of a sudden the benevolent ones show up?
Yeah, I think, you know, If you look at the bigger picture, if you have to look at exactly what's going on here, there's definitely control in this program. We do not have free will. You know, the new ages might think we have free will, but I don't see any free will. Everything is, you know, I'm not in the position where I can say everything is not channeled. In other words, everything is not already programmed. Even what I'm saying to you, the fact that I'm on tonight, what you're saying to me, we don't have free will. That will come through a test. This species, besides, you know, being self-destructive, also likes to give up its sovereignty, its power. It doesn't like to keep it up. You know, my relationship, my wife has to make me happy. My boss has to do the right thing. We give up our power to everybody. We give up our power to our elected officials, and they turn around and put a knife in our back, and then we complain. But we gave them that power. When this scenario unfolds, this first contact, and it's going to be in the form of an alien.
A perception of an alien.
Well, right? It's going to say that it is the same life form that came back then at ancient times, that was Jesus, that was Buddha, that was Krishna, you know, that kind of thing. And now it's coming back, but it's in the form of an ET, and it's here to save us from this catastrophe if only we give up its power, if we allow it to govern us, and if we do, and program. You know,
Is it a trick, Peter?
Well, you know, it's another analogy in the law. In other words, if they arrest somebody and the police interrogate this person, if they force a confession out of the person, it's inadmissible in court. But if they trick him by saying his accomplice inculpated him when he hasn't, or if they say that his fingerprints weren't a murder weapon when it wasn't. You know what I mean? If they trick him in confessing, it's inadmissible. So if they can't take our power by force. There's no way. It's end program. It's a violation of the program. First contact rule number one. I don't know. They can trick us into giving up our sovereignty. And if they trick us into giving up our power, then end program. But if we say, forget it, we'll take care of our own problems, we don't need you, then we can go on to the next level. We're still adolescents in the cosmic scheme of things. We haven't, you know, severed that umbilical cord. We haven't demonstrated that we have a right to exist on our own. And I'll tell you, by the way that we've been conducting our own activities, if I was the Cosmic Council deciding whether to end this program, I wouldn't have ended it. Look, we're destroying the environment. But that could be because there's a cosmic computer virus present in our program.
David Jacobs contends that whoever, whatever they may be, they're not good people. They're not. It's not a benevolent race.
Well, you know, I don't believe in good and bad. There's opposites. We're in a, you know, a holographic reality. There's duality. There's good and bad. You know, good and bad is judgmental, so to speak. Everything is what it is. If you eliminate judgment, it's just the program. You know, you go to a movie. Do you walk out because somebody killed somebody? Do you say, well, that actor is worse than another actor? It's no different in this program. They're just playing a part. We're just playing our roles, you know. Theoretically, I kill you today. The next program, you kill me, and we experience dying or being a killer. It's there are archetypes throughout the different programs. You know.
What are they? What's the bottom line with all this, Peter? What are they looking for? What do they want? Who's they?
Well, I don't know if it's you know, like a cosmic reality show. And everybody, there was a skit on
series one
on South Park, where South Park, this planet Earth was, you know, part of a reality show. It was the number one reality show in the galaxy. Everybody,
right. We're highly rated, aren't we?
Right. You know, it was so interesting. I don't know. I don't know if it's an experiment. I don't know if we happen to be a zoo or a prison. All I know is that there is another intelligence, you know, interacting with us. And the evidence, and I have to go by the evidence, the inference to be drawn from the evidence is that we're part of some kind of program, some kind of other intelligence.
Well, you may be right about that. Stay with us, Peter. We'll be back in a moment. In the next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. And we're with Peter Gersten, the UFO attorney, they call him. Hey, by the way, take advantage, get the January issue of the After Dark newsletter. It is on psychics and remote viewers, intuitives. It's a wonderful addition. And it'll also be the last month that the free CD is available. Art Bell's interview with the late Father Malachi Martin on exorcisms, perfect possession. So you can call 1-888-727-5505 or go online to order After Dark, coasttocoastam.com. Peter, what do you think of the Mayans? I mean, they did come up with this 2012 date. We really wouldn't have been too much too aware of it had it not been for them. How did they know these things?
Well, the Mayans definitely targeted this particular period of time as the ending of one age and the beginning of another. But it's not just the Mayans that targeted this period. The various ancient civilizations did. Aztecs, just to name another one. I'm sure there are a few others. Plus, it's also one of Terence McKenna's pet theories when he came up with the cosmic wave theory.
Yes,
and then you have the
true
novelty theory. So there are many signposts pointing us to this time. The Bible even points us to this time, this seven-year tribulation period, which coincidentally, we're coming upon a seven-year period between the winter solstice of 2005 and the cosmic one in 2012. The Mayans targeted us to a specific date, December 21st, 2012, but there's actually, it's a 36-year period from, I guess, 1980 to, 2016, when we are in our solar system, our sun is in this particular alignment, galactic alignment, so to speak, where the December solstice sun aligns with the lines as the dark rift of the center of the galaxy, what the Mayans considered the galactic birth canal. So what we are returning to, if you factor in the precession of the equinoxes. And I'm sure at least some of your guests in the last couple of years have spoken about this. And once again, I'm an attorney. I present the evidence. I call the witnesses. I'm not the expert. But if I had to call experts, the number one expert, and this is John Major Jenkins, and when I went through your list of guests, I didn't see his name, and I think you should invite him on because he can explain this great, the Mayan cosmology. But this is a particular period of time that we are now in. Now, within that period, December 21st doesn't have any added significance as far as the Mayans are concerned. They picked this date. Now, one might say, well, why did they pick this date in this 36-year period? I think they picked this date because it has some significance, and my significance, separate and aside, even if there were no Mayan calendars and Aztec calendars and time wave theories, this is winter solstice. This is a date that has the suffix 1111. 1111 has symbolic meaning, and symbolic is the way that it seems this other intelligence communicates with us. This is the way. Let me ask you, let me regress. In the guests that you've had on your show, have you gotten the impression after speaking to them that there were ancient civilizations that knew more about what this reality is about, more about what's out there, what's within us than we do?
Yes.
Definitely. So yes, they knew what was going on, and they knew through symbolism, through metaphor, through allegory, they encoded that information. They looked out there and saw certain things that we no longer see. They had a better idea of what their reality is about than we do now. So they are trying to tell us, I think, in their symbolism, in their metaphors and legends and myths, what the end times was like, the last end times, 26, 25,000 years ago. And it's interesting because there was an article in the BBC recent, I guess actually today it was, that found, I'm trying to find the BBC story today. New research shows that early humans were living in Britain around 700,000 years ago.
Yeah, way before they thought.
700. So can you imagine these civilizations? Now, they are telling us about a 26,000-year period. So in order to know what happens, what's cyclical, because basically our program is cycles, you can see that time and time again. And we're repeating a cycle, 26,000-year cycle, a 5,200-year cycle. It's almost as if there were civilizations way back when were around with a lot, you know, a lot longer than we are now, who were able to see different things at different times repeating itself. And they tried to somehow, you know, get the message to us that this is what you can expect. And it's interesting because even though I don't believe the Bible is a literal interpretation, I think basically it's a co-opting of these primordial mythology about what they were seeing out there, and it's used to manipulate it to promote their own agenda. But basically, the end times, the tribulation in the book of Revelation, that seven-year period, there we go with the seven again, a seven-year period where certain things are happening. I'll yes. tell you, it's pretty similar to what's happening now.
Yeah, yes, it is. People, you know, Hal Lindsey believes that. I believe that. I believe, like you, that these end times mean primarily the end of something. It's not the end of us. It's not end of civilizations. It's just the end of an old era and a new one starts.
You know, I, for want of a better term, use cosmic computer program because that's what I see now. Back then, they didn't know anything, as far as I know, about computers. They called it end of a period, end of an age. And we are now approaching the galactic center, aligning with the galactic center, which the Mayans thought was the birthplace, the womb where all creation started, where this solar system birthed from. We are now returning to that same place. And you know, we've seen what is that, or at least we've read about what is at that galactic center, the dark rift in that galactic center that we are now aligning with on the winter solstice. It's you know, there was one article that I had posted on the e-news, and I just want to mention the e-news in a couple of minutes, where there's some thought there's a cosmic particle generator in the center of the galaxy, you know, or a black hole or a neutron star. And then there was one article I posted about eight new sources of very high energy gamma rays, unusual power burst of intermittent radio waves. So we are aligning with that. And we are aligning with that at the end of a program and prior to the beginning. You would think that if something's ending, you know, there is some kind of stress involved, and we are seeing that stress. You know, they call about it's darkest before the dawn. We are going through the program. It's the evidence is there.
We're seeing the stress not only with people, but the planet is stressed.
Of course. And unfortunately, we should have our shields at maximum power, to use an analogy with Star Trek. We do not. Going through this particular period, not only do we have our shields, we are destroying the biosphere that needs to be strengthened in order for us to get past this period and to the next level.
My theory, Peter, is that people now who are seeing 11/11 are the ones who are going to get through the change in a little better shape than other people.
Well, let's hope so, because there's a lot to be done in the next 7 years. Our focus is in the wrong direction. We're being diverted by planetary dramas. We're more interested in what's going on the planetary stage, the war on terrorism, you know, the war in Iraq, what's happening we're just being diverted. We're more interested in what's on television than do you ever see the movie Cube, and then there was Hypercube, and then Cube Zero? Basically, these people woke up in this room, which was part of this immense structure, which had all these cubes in it, and they had to get from room to room, and they have to get through certain obstacles to find a way out.
And they have no idea how to do it. Huh?
Okay, so we wake up on a planet called Earth. You know, it's the same thing. It's just on a larger scale. You would think our number one priority would be to find out, why are we here? What is it that we're here? And especially now, when we're coming to this cosmic coordinate 12, 21, 2012, and 11, 11, you know, we're not prepared for it. We should be prepared. We're looking in the wrong direction. We have to, you know, at least the people that are aware have to do something. Can I regress for a second?
I was going to ask you about e-news. What is that?
Yeah. Well, basically, what I believe, and you asked me before, as what I'm doing now, I'm trying to, you know, find out what's going on. And I try to look for evidence to support my position. And I look at certain websites. I'm on certain mailing lists. Certain people send me links to different articles. And then I take everything that I see that supports my position, the evidence to support what I believe in, whether it's a program or in 2012, or in the end times, or the fact that we're, you know, in a singularity about to, you know, transform biological life forms into something that resembles technology more than biology. It's amazing everything that's going on. It's hard to put everything into perspective. But in any event, I then take it and I publish the PAG e-news because I want to disseminate the information. I want everybody to see what's going on. And I post three articles a day that I think, and I place some commentary above
articles
each of the articles.
That you find or that you write?
No, I don't write. The articles are actually news stories.
Okay.
In other words,
right.
Information out there, stories out there. I write a little commentary sometimes about them.
All right.
And I direct the reader's attention to something in the article that I think is interesting that supports my position. And then I post it on a webpage, but I send each of the e-news updates, daily updates, to whoever the subscribers are. And if you're interested in some of the things that I'm saying, and I'm talking to the audience now, and you think something that I have said has triggered some kind of resonance within you, if you think that something that I have said is consistent with your beliefs, then check out the e-news. It's free. I send it to you. You always can unsubscribe. I have a web page that I then post it in case somebody, you know, isn't able to read a past article. But in any event, you can access and subscribe to the e-news three ways. You can go to the Coast to Coast website, and there's a little blurb about me and the PAG e-news, and you can click on that, and it'll take you to the PAG e-news, and once you're there, you can see how to subscribe, or you can write to UFO Lawyer. That's me, UFO Lawyer, UFO Lawyer, spelled how it sounds, at msn.com, and just say subscribe to the e-news, and I'll subscribe you, or you can go to the actual website, PAG e-news, PAGENEWS, PAGENEWS.info, I-N-F-O.
How'd you get the name?
Some people say Page E-News. It's PAG E-News. PAG is, of course, my initials. P-A-G-E-N-E-W-S.
There you go.
.info. So any of those ways you can subscribe. You can always unsubscribe if I insult you in some way and say something that's inconsistent with your belief system. But at least check it out. Keep an open mind. And if something upsets you, just look at it as some kind of message that maybe there's something that you have to look at.
Peter, earlier I was talking to Richard Hoagland about Virgin Airlines. They call this division now Virgin Galactic, teaming up with the state of New Mexico to build a spaceport in New Mexico. They announced it officially today. We had the story last night. But most of this facility, the spaceport, is going to be underground. Isn't that unusual? Why do you think they would do that?
Well, I have no idea. If you asked me that and I had to find it out, I would just find an expert and probably call Rich and ask him what he had to say. I know certain things based on evidence or some of my experiences, but I have no idea about this. I think it's interesting because one of my beliefs is that it's a closed system and you cannot leave the solar system, at least the outer regions of the solar system, in a physical form. I think it's like a protective mechanism. You can't go out there unless you're at a certain level spiritually. You can't go out in there like a virus and infect the rest of the planets. That's why I don't believe people when they say, oh, I believe ETs come here and they're going to take over the planet and they're going to attack us. That's science fiction, you know. That's not how it happens. So it's interesting that he's doing that. And I got an email from Matt Tonis today, and he says, here's this link. Maybe that's where you should be in 2012, out in space, looking down. But no, I will be on Bell Rock in Sedona, and exactly 11-11 of 2012. Well, they're all portals, you know. 11-11 is a portal, and Bell Rock is a portal, and the Dark Rift is a portal. It's interesting how everything comes together. But Richard, I'm sure he explained it.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that. I just find it interesting that these things are also coming together around this time. But you can't leave the solar system, as far as I'm concerned. And the Pioneer anomaly so far, you know, proves that. And this. And getting back to the website, basically everything I'm talking about is contained within my features, my special, my favorite section on the website. All those articles contain, if you read them, the evidence that I would use to support my beliefs, the Pioneer anomaly, showing that the two Pioneer spacecraft have met a problem when they tried to get a certain, you know, place outside of the solar system. Something was tugging them back.
So it's
that's what I think. You know, you just don't leave it. That's why I don't, you know, that whole Zeta Reticuli exchange program, besides the scientific inconsistencies within it. It doesn't make sense. It's really silly, if you ask me.
Well, what a great story, though, Peter.
Oh, yeah, of course there are great stories. We keep on getting close to the first contact. There are a lot of great stories. The alien autopsy, the MJ-12 papers, the Roswell incident. That's the, you know, the...
You believe Roswell happened?
Oh, Roswell definitely happened. I just don't think it was an extraterrestrial craft. Basically what Roswell stands for, stands for the proposition that an advanced technology was introduced into our program before its time. That's how I look at it. It was like, I call it the Trojan UFO, the Trojan Roswell.
So you think it was man-made?
Well, I think something crashed. There's no question about that.
Right.
But nothing exotic came about until the 70s when Stanton decided, you know, that he's going to go on this hunt for witnesses to these alien bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Something definitely crashed there, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it wasn't anything from other planets.
Yet when you went into this as the UFO attorney, did you believe that these UFOs existed and that they were extraterrestrial?
Yeah, I guess so. When I went in as the UFO attorney, when I started reading the books by Lorenzen and some of the other authors, including, I guess, Kehoe and Ruppelt.
Edwards. Remember him?
Who?
Frank Edwards.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Frank Edwards came after these people, I think.
Yeah.
But, I read all the books. I read all the books. And you know, when you're young, when you're 10, 15 years old, you tend to believe what you read at face value.
That's true.
But you know, George, between you and I, there's no credible evidence that this intelligence is extraterrestrial. The only evidence that I see comes from three sources. The intelligence itself, and as far as I can see, based on its nature, it appears to be deceptive. So why would I believe another form of intelligence when it says where it's from and it has reasons to say it's from a place other than where it actually is
Jacques,
to avoid
Jacques,
attention?
Jacques Vallée believes it's deception, too. We'll be back. Final hour to go. It'll be phone call time with Peter Gersten on Coast to Coast AM.